Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What's going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. And if you don't notice, if you're not watching us live in the video, I do have the handsome devil himself, Ant, for 49ers cut back next to me. Coach Approach is back. How we doing, Ant?
Doing great. Yeah, I'm excited to be on, John. You know, we had a little hiatus there. We took a little bit of a break. We had some things going on, and now we're back. And it's always interesting when you leave for a little bit and you come back and we get to talk again. It's like 49ers have all kinds of stuff going on. There's all kinds of conversation. And we're just in the middle of the offseason. This is supposed to be the slow period. And yet the 49ers, whenever they're being talked about, it's never slow. It's always stuff happening at a rapid pace. Nuclear hot conversations about whatever else. Did not touch that, at least not yet. But yeah, it's fun. I think that this is a good time of the year, and we're just getting closer and closer to training camp in the season. I think the build is going to be fun, especially for the people that are taking a deep dive at the 49ers roster. And I know you do this, John, with your countdown, and I've been trying to do that as well. When that is the focus, you get really excited about what this team could be in 2026 because of the depth and then some of the star players that they have. It's going to be a fun season.
Oh, I'm pumped, man. I really, really am. And the more I dive into the roster and, you know, you see certain accounts throw out hate without knowledge, and it's like, oh, all right, that's a positive, which, you know, I have like the Cowherds, the Nick Wrights, the Stephen A's. I got all of them muted and blocked, but I get sent those clips, videos, posts, whatever, through DMs and whatever else. And so, like, I try my hardest, just like you. These people have no knowledge about the sport. It's they have knowledge about hate, and they don't even write their own, you know, whatever. And so I stay away from a lot of that, but it is kind of cool whenever you get a bunch of it at the same time. And it's like, ooh, all right. Like the people that don't know much don't know much. And that is a good thing. I want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs. Look at this, the Striking Gold Podcast, Rob Louder. Coach Approach hat tip via Lieutenant Simple Jack's burner. I love it. Everybody go check out the Striking Gold Podcast, newly YouTube channel. Go give them a shot. They always do a great damn job. Hey, Wayne and Aunt, hope everybody's doing well. I'm John, but that's okay. I know what you're talking about, Jax. I love you. She knows that. She's the best. That's all there is to it. Now, what I wanted to do today was a little bit different. And I wanted to get into some predictions for the season. And man, I'm pretty psyched about this because, like you said, you're going through your roster breakdown series. You're doing all, you know, summarizing all this stuff. There's a lot that's kind of behind or under the water that's just like, ooh, it's bubbling crude, ready to go. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to bounce back. We'll get to your questions, your comments, and we could deep dive into any of these. But we have some actual predictions. I don't know Ant's predictions. He doesn't know mine. And these are just predictions for the 2026 49ers season, all kinds of different things. And I'm excited about this. So, Ant, let's go ahead and get started with you. What's your first prediction that you have for the 49ers 2026 season?
Yeah, you know, it's fun. I just did an episode talking about the interior defensive line and how the 49ers have rebuilt it. And I think it's going to be really good this season with Osa Digizua, Grace and Halton, and then Alfred Collins and CJ West kind of going to their normal natural position, not having to play any three tech, but going inside and playing that one tech two eye. And I think that Raheem Morris is going to add a lot as well to what they're capable of doing. So I'm going to start with a projection for and prediction for Osa Digizua. I think that Osa Digizua is going to have 7+ sacks this season from the interior. When you look at the 52 pressures that he had last season, I think now with Nick Bosa on one side and Romello Height on the other, quarterbacks have to go somewhere. And if they're stepping up because Romello Height's bringing pressure with speed off the edge or Nick Bosa, they're stepping into Osa Digizua. And I think some of those pressures turn into sacks and he goes from a 3.5 guy to a 7+ guy. He doubles his outcome. And I think that he's going to have a really big season and a really big impact on the 49ers. Because I do think that that was a sneaky good move by the 49ers. They wanted John Franklin Myers. They weren't able to get him, but they get something in return with a third-round pick in Osadigizua, and they weren't going to get anyone in the third round that was going to be as productive as him this season in 2026. I think he makes a huge impact on this 49ers defense, and I think it starts with 7 sacks up front.
You know, one of my predictions, I didn't go with this one, but the 49ers last year had 20 sacks. And it's just like, well, obviously they're going to have more. Like you can't have less. You can't go down from the bottom. But at the same time, it's like, okay, are they going to get to 30? Are they going to get to, you know, 32, 34? Like, and I started like, and so one of my predictions was going to be sacks. I ended up not going with it. But man, you're talking about, okay, 7.5 sacks for Osa, which would be the most he's never had more than 4.5. Romello Height, where does he fall in there? Kind of that 3 to 8 range. Nick Bosa, you know, is he going to get double-digit sacks like he has the majority of his career right at that threshold? Man, you just start adding them, and it's just like, all right, man, you get to 20 pretty damn quick. And that's not counting Mikael Williams. That's not counting C.J. West, you know, Alfred Collins. Like, there's going to be some random sacks. And then you throw in the Raheem Morris aspect to it. This guy has everywhere he has been in his career. I talked about this a couple episodes ago. Only 2 third-round picks have had 8 or more sacks as a rookie in the past 4 drafts. Both of them were coached by Raheem Morris. Only one player in the entire draft last year had more than 8 sacks out of the rookie draft. That guy was coached by Raheem Morris. Robert Saleh's never been a huge sack guy. That's not really his thing. He can talk all gas, no breaks, whatever else. He's a sound, run responsible, stay in your lane, don't give up big plays guy. That is the philosophical construct of a Robert Saleh. And D'Amico Ryan's to a lesser extent. He's more aggressive. Raheem Morris does not buy into that philosophy near as much. Whenever he went to the Los Angeles Rams and he instilled that Fangio shell in the 3-4 scheme that they won the Super Bowl with, it was aggressive front 7, you know, super shell over the top back 4. That's just what they did. And so what are you going to get? Because you didn't get that so much in Atlanta. It was a different construct, even whenever he was there. And you could even go back further. Raheem Morris, whenever he was with Tampa, he learned the traditional Tampa 2 4-man front. A little bit of a defensive end, a defensive mind chameleon that could do a little bit of everything. So my question to you, Ant, you brought up Osa's sack numbers. What's the aggressive barometer going to change from where Robert Saleh was last year, let's say 1 to 10, to where you think the 49ers philosophical idea of aggression 1 to 10 will be this year?
I think it's going to go up to like an 8. I think that Raheem Morris is going to be extremely aggressive. I don't think he's got a calm bone in his body. Like, I think he wants to get after it. I think when you look at the way the team is built, they're very much built to get after the quarterback. When you get guys who have GTFO like Romello Height, Osadigizua, there is an aggression behind what they do, but not even that. They're linebackers, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, aggressive by nature. And that's what they were trying to add last year too. Upton Stout, very aggressive, very physical. Even the guys they added as backups, Jack Jones, Nate Hobbs, those guys are aggressive players that come up and play hard. And I think that he's going to want that speed element out there on the field, but he's also going to want an aggressive element. And I think he would rather try to force things and have mistakes than sit back and let somebody pick him apart. And I think that that's a mindset that Raheem Morris has, probably more so than a lot of the other coordinators the 49ers have had. Another guy that had that thought process was D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans likes to force you into making a mistake. He likes to put pressure on you. And I think that the 49ers would like to return to that. And I think Shanahan also trusts Raheem Morris enough, and Raheem Morris knows that Raheem can do some things that maybe other defensive coordinators wouldn't have been allowed to do. He's going to have more leeway because Shanahan trusts him and kind of what he can do and how he's proven how good of a defensive coordinator he's been throughout the league.
Yeah, I like it. I do want to just say thank you to Luke out there. Yeah, I got your message. I didn't get a chance to watch the UFC event. Just wasn't in the cards with the family stuff going on. But yeah, they used one of our countdown videos to introduce the former 49ers Hockett, which was really, really cool. So thank you for everybody that reached out. That was kind of cool. The countdown, you know, I'm not the biggest Hockett guy. He's a crazy man. But anyway, I appreciate everybody that noticed, reached out, and I was beyond thankful for that. The community you guys know, hashtag CC, Countdown Crew, the faithful, you guys second to none. And so I'm just very, very thankful for you guys. So now, and right here, Kibro says, you know, I agree with you on Osa. Sack numbers are hard to predict. They're one of the least, like, I don't like betting sack numbers ever. I bet everything with the NFL. I don't bet sack numbers usually ever. But you look at just the quarterback hits, back-to-back seasons with 23 quarterback hits for Oso Odighizuwa. That's crazy. It hasn't corresponded into, you know, sack numbers, but he's going to a much better defense. And so that's going to help. Is that, you know, 1.5, 2.5, 3.5 sacks? Where does that, you know, kind of configure number-wise? But Osa's in a better place. There's just no doubt about it. He has never had quality linebackers behind him, ever, at any point in his career with the Dallas Cowboys. Now he gets to play with freaking Fred Warner. That's crazy. It's just crazy. So I'm excited to see what that's going to look like. Look at Big Toad. He says it helps when you get wrestled. Like, little known fact, John Chapman did MMA for a long time in high school and grad school. I wasn't very good. I didn't compete a lot. I just loved the workout. The worst butt kicking I have received in my entire life was from a wrestler. I was completely defenseless. I could do nothing. When you can wrestle, if you have high school kids with any type of college aspirations in the football realm, get those boys in wrestling. Please, even girls, my niece, she's in wrestling. She was in wrestling. I don't think she is anymore. But it's just, man, when you learn leverage and angles and weight displacement, all that stuff, it is just huge, huge, huge. So if you guys know somebody that wants to play in the NFL or college football, wrestle, wrestle, wrestle. Trust me, trust me, trust me. Whenever I'm doing my draft breakdowns, like, always go through their sports and try to see what they did. If wrestling's in there, it's like +2. That's worth two sports, man. Because good Lord, I still remember just getting my butt kicked like nobody's business. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you can do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's three easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. That's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel, pick up the kids, they're out of school, adventure, it's all out there. For others, juggling it can be tough and can lead to being overwhelmed and counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting their days of sunshine. Well, therapy can help better understand their needs. Feel more confident about setting boundaries. Create a version of summer that actually feels good. And with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works. Their average rating is 4.9 out of 5 for live sessions based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States, and they do all the initial match matching work with you for the therapist. Short questionnaire helps identify your needs, your preferences, and over 12 years of experience in the industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you're not happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from all of the tailored recommendations. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy, sign up, and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. All right. I have a prediction. Mine's going to start with the quarterback, Brock Purdy. Now, Brock Purdy currently holds the record for most passing yards in a season with the 49ers franchise. And that record was 4,280 pass yards. I think he breaks it. I think Brock Purdy this season, health obviously a big issue, but with the amount of times the 49ers have transitioned to passing plays per game, it's not the traditional Shanahan approach where you're leading the NFL in rush attempts and all that. It's not that. A lot of that's Christian McCaffrey. A lot of that's your starting center. It's a lot of issues. But when you have Brock Purdy, and even when Mac Jones went in, it just lighted up, man. Let's throw the ball 35 times a game, which hasn't really been the situation throughout Shanahan's tenure here. So I have, you know, Brock Purdy going over 4,300 pass yards, which, you know, I went and looked it up, the Vegas sports books, where his projected total, they have him at 3,850. I threw money down this morning, which I don't like tying up money for that long. I just did a little $25 bet. But, like, I have him, now, health is the only way that he's not going to get there. If he plays 17 games, he's beating that number with these wide receivers. But I have Brock Purdy re-breaking the 49ers franchise record and going over 4,300 pass yards. What? Where? How do you feel about that one? You can tell me I'm crazy. I keep giving you chances to tell me you're crazy. You never do.
Well, I love it. I mean, I don't know if he goes to 4,300, but I think 4,000 is completely legitimate because of, like you said, the weapons that he's bringing in. Mike Evans is going to have a huge effect on what the 49ers do, and I don't think people really understand it yet. Brandon Ayuk was a solid X receiver. He did not tip defenses his direction. Defenses weren't coming in and saying, let's take away Brandon Ayuk. They were looking at Debo. They were looking at Christian. They were looking at George first. This is a guy that you better pay attention to. So I think that that's going to open things up for a lot of the other players on the 49ers team. And just that big play potential downfield. And Brock loves to take some of these shots downfield with some of these 50-50 balls. Mike Evans goes and gets those plays. And I don't think he's ever had anyone, not even in college, that could do the things that Mike Evans can do. So I'm extremely excited about that. I think that that's a really good possibility. I think Brock's key, like you said, is health. If he can stay healthy, his numbers are going to be through the roof. And I think this offense is going to really, really roll. I think that they've got just a really good group of guys now. And then they add more speed with Stribling. They add Christian Kirk and what he's able to do, finding space. They've taken a lot of pressure off guys like Ricky Pearsall. They've taken pressure off, you know, Brock Purdy even, because he's got necessary weapons, guys who can win one-on-one. What a big factor that's going to be. So I'm with you. I think Brock Purdy has a really big season. 4,300 would be phenomenal. And you're right. He was changing people's opinions. That's an MVP caliber season that you have predicted. And I'm for it. I think Brock Purdy has been in that mix before and he could do it again.
It would be great to have Brock in that mix. I think he's like the seventh or eighth best odds in the NFL for the MVP currently. But he's got the situation built around him and finally get a full offseason. Like, I'm excited about what it is. I really, really, oh, look at this. Bill Piedmont, appreciate you. We got a new YouTube member. So glad to have you here. You are the freaking man. Appreciate your support. All right, let's get to Ant. Let's go to one of your predictions as we volley this back and forth.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You talk about Brock Purdy, and I was bringing up Mike Evans. I'm going to go on the offensive side of the ball, and I'm going to go to the red zone. I think the 49ers are going to go over 70% conversion rate on touchdowns in the red zone in 2026. They added the ultimate red zone monster in Mike Evans. Like, this dude is going to score touchdowns. I did a video about this way before George Kittle was saying that he was dominating the red zone. I just know how impactful Mike Evans is going to be in the red zone. You throw the fact that Christian McCaffrey is also a red zone monster. He's a matchup issue against linebackers. He's going to be a problem. When George Kittle gets back, he's always a red zone threat. The 49ers have too many weapons. Brock Purdy's one of the best passers inside the red zone, especially with anything that's tight quarters. He does such a great job. He uses his legs to help with that. 49ers in 2023 were the number one team in the NFL. They got close. They got up there into the 67, 68%. But I think they get over 70 this year with Mike Evans. This is a legitimate threat. You give him one-on-one, they're going to go to him, whether it's back shoulder or fade. He can get across their face on slants. And I think also you add in Deshaun Stribling and that big body, and next thing you know, you're going to have another weapon that you can use. So I think it's uptick for everyone. And another thing to remember, even when Christian McCaffrey's not on the field in the red zone, the guys behind him, Jordan James, Kalen Black, extremely good in short yardage situations. And you look at a guy like Jordan James, he had over 30 touchdowns in his career inside the red zone and short yardage. These guys are built for this. They're built for that lower red zone area. And I think the 49ers are going to be extremely successful. So I got them going over 70%. I think they would be the number one team in the NFL. Eagles usually right up there because of the tush push and all that. But I think the 49ers are going to be there.
Yeah, you said 70% red zone success. Last year, the 49ers, 65.2% in the red zone, was fifth. They were top five. If they hit 70, you're talking best in the NFL. Like that is what Shanahan historically has been amazing in the red zone. There was that one year where it was like, dude, what the hell? They can't score any touchdowns. Like, what is happening? But that was a one-year anomaly. Historically, the Shanahan offense is great at yards per rush attempt and red zone and third downs. Like, those are the three things that he excels at. Yards per rush attempt, they're last year was down major, but you know what that is. Look at this. Shout out to Ben with NY Niners. He's the best of the best. Fun with numbers. He says 48 receptions, 651 yards. Mike Evans will pass Julio Jones' career numbers. He's already 42 touchdowns ahead of Julio. You're talking about Hall of Fame numbers right there. And, you know, if there's anybody that knows how to use Julio Jones, it's Kyle Shanahan. And he's even mentioned whenever they signed Mike Evans, you know, he said, he's like, yeah, you know, I've Andre Johnson, Julio Jones. Like, he related him, this big-bodied, excellent Hall of Fame wide receivers that he's coached. I'd even throw in Josh Gordon in that mix. I know he's not a Hall of Famer, but Shanahan got the most out of him as well. I don't think the speed is quite there for Evans like those other names, but the career is there. And so 48 receptions, 651 yards. Is there anybody that's like, he's not going to hit those numbers? Like, if that's the over-under, dude's getting that in his sleep.
Yeah, I'm way over on that for Mike Evans. I've already said I think Mike Evans is going to get 1,000 yards. I think he's going to return to that 1,000-yard form, even with defenses turning attention to him. I mean, the thing about, you know, Julio Jones and Andre Johnson, those guys were big. Mike Evans is 6'5". Like, this dude is a different kind of big. Julio was more athletic, but he knows how to use his size. And the fact that he's just so good at creating separation, whether it's using his body or he's a pretty good route runner too for his size, he's got good fluid hips. He can get in and out pretty well. This is a guy that's still got the ability to go 1,000. So, 48 for, you know, over 650, no problem. Sign me up every day. In fact, if there's something I can bet on for those numbers, I'm going over, and I'm going over big.
I love it. My thing that I want to see Brock Purdy develop the back shoulder fade. the comeback, you know, back shot like that. If you could add that to your game with Deshaun Stribling and Mike Evans, I've coached DBs, man. I've coached corners. Can't guard it. Like you are in perfect fit. You're in phase. You're locking down a wide receiver. But if that quarterback can throw that back shoulder, it's unguardable, especially in a shell type, you know, quarters, thirds, cover six, any of that stuff. Can't do anything about it. You just can't. Maybe with like a Tampa 2 deep drop from the corners, but like Niners don't do that. Raheem Morris didn't even do that in any stop he's been in. So like you develop that back shoulder throw. It is just a changeup that is unguardable. We haven't seen it from Brock Purdy. I haven't really seen it from any of the Shanahan quarterbacks. Maybe Kirk Cousins is probably the one that I would go back to. Matt Ryan did it with Julio and whenever Kyle was there. So, like, it's in there. Do you think we'll see that addition? Like, I hope. I just hope we see it, man. I really do.
Yeah, I think we're going to see it. I think that when you have two weapons like that, with you have, you know, Evans and you have Stribling, you have two guys that you're going to get a one-on-one somewhere, right? You can't cover everybody. That's why I think they're going to be so good in the red zone, especially, is I think you're going to get that. I think you're also going to get the return of some of the other Julio routes, you know, those 18-yard comebacks and stuff like that. Some things that stretch things a little bit more vertically that Kyle really hasn't ran. But Brock is very good with timing. And as long as him and Evans can get on the same page, I think some of those things that we haven't seen since Atlanta are going to come back into the fold. Jimmy never had the arm for it. Brock has the timing to make it work. He doesn't have to have the arm for it, but he's got the timing. He's got impeccable timing. So I think that, yeah, a lot of things are going to fit. And I think that you're going to see some of these back shoulder fades, especially with Mike Evans, some of the conversation that Brock said about things that him and Tom Brady did, where they had conversations about, you know, we did this, we did that, we changed this on the fly. Those types of things are going to be big. If Kyle Shanahan's going to let them, you know, have some conversations about, hey, this stuff works against this defense, and Evans is going to have that leeway, I love it for his ability to make plays. And Shanahan kind of allowing those guys to do that, I think, is going to let Brock take the next step forward, where he can kind of be more of a field general a little bit here and there. It's not going to be a lot. Shanahan loves having his fingers on everything, but he trusts Mike Evans, and that's a Hall of Fame guy. And I think that they're going to have a little bit of that, and I think it's going to produce for this team.
Yeah, I like that. All right, let's get to the super chat. Tommy talking trash as he always does. It's his love language. Appreciate you, buddy. He says, Gav told me Wells is a trash soccer team. Oh, that is nice. Tommy also says, if anyone's in Hayward, I'm playing at the B Street Fest from 6 to 6:45. I assume today I've seen Tommy play in person. It is well worth the price of admission. He is a good dude, contrary to his comments on YouTube. Tommy's the best, man. And yeah, sticking with the soccer theme, Rusty says, JC, you going to watch the Aussies play this weekend? Man, I am actually Scott, who's helping us with our Australia party. He flew out to the United States to travel with the World Cup team. I'm meeting him, and I'm going to the Australia-Paraguay World Cup game. I've never been to a World Cup game. I love international play. I haven't watched as much this year. We're moving. I'm getting my butt kicked. But I will be at the Australia game. I got my shirt. I got my Australia shirt. I wish I could go to the States game, but just didn't work out, and the budget's just not in there. I could spend the crazy money on the Niners. I don't think I could spend the crazy money on the World Cup team. I'm not to that point yet. Y'all got to subscribe more. Rusty says, what's up, Faithful? Who's going to Australia? I love it. I can't freaking wait. And if anybody is going to any 49ers Rush Road or 49ers away games, come join us. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. All right, my next prediction, I'm going to the defensive side of the ball. Fred Warner, I love the fact that he was ready to go and fully practicing during the playoff run and was ready to start the next game if they won that game in Seattle. It didn't go that way. But the fact that he has cleared every single checklist back in February to be able to play, that means the entire offseason he's been at full go. Now he gets his best friend back, you know, his longtime buddy, Drake Greenlaw, playing next to him. My biggest hiccup in this prediction is the quarterbacks that are available, but I have Fred Warner winning Defensive Player of the Year. I'm sorry, not Defensive Player of the Year. He's a finalist for that. Comeback Player of the Year. I apologize. Now, there's Mahomes. There's, you know, all these quarterbacks that are going to fit Jaden Daniels, and they love to give awards to quarterbacks. But I think Fred Warner makes a statement. I really, really do. He's plus 1,900. So if you put down, you know, 10 bucks, you're getting 190 back on this. And the 49ers have lots of candidates on this because of the injuries. Nick Bosa has the same odds, plus 1,900. George Kittle, plus 2,200. There's a lot of players capable for this. But Fred Warner, I just think, can step out, cement his entire Hall of Fame legacy. He gets one more All-Pro. He's a lock to be in the Hall of Fame. I think he's going to be a lock to get in the Hall of Fame anyway. I just could not buy in anymore to what Fred Warner's going to do in 2026. He's never missed time ever in his entire career. Had to sit out, watch that entire season, and I think he's just ready to go. The defensive line's way better. It gets Dre Greenlaw back. I think we're going to see the best Fred Warner we've ever seen, which is saying a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Fred was super juiced at the end of the season. He wanted to come back last year. He was looking for that opportunity. He's been itching. And I think the fact that he came back from injury, it makes him, you know, a lot more excited about his opportunities that he's going to have. You know, he's very thankful for where he's positioned. But Dre Greenlaw coming in is going to juice that linebacker room up to another level. I mean, Dre's putting out stuff that says it just feels right. You know, things like that. These guys back together, they make each other better. And you brought up the defensive line. I think that's going to be another huge factor. Alfred Collins and CJ West. In year two, these guys are going to play against the run a lot better than they did last year. Last year wasn't great. They took their lumps, and they learned a lot with those snaps. But those guys are going to keep Fred Warner clean. And there is no linebacker in the NFL that is as good as Fred Warner in coverage. There's no linebacker in the NFL that's as good as Fred Warner when it comes to putting people in the right situations and the right places when defense is being called. I think you're right. Fred's going to win Comeback Player of the Year. I don't even think it's close. I think that he was on track last year to be an All-Pro, and he got cut short. I mean, you look at his PFF numbers, he was still graded out as like the number one linebacker. He was just on a different level. Fred is a different player than everybody else at his position, and I think that he's going to come out there juiced up, and I think you're right. I think he's going to be very successful. I'm excited for Fred. Fred is so easy to like. He's, you know, if people that like other teams, Fred Warner is their favorite 49er. I mean, that's just the way it is. Like, I had a conversation with a Texans fan yesterday. He said his favorite player on the 49ers is Fred Warner. He said, you just have to like him. He's just too good. And that's just how it is.
You know, I'll tell this story 100 times before it's all said and through. But, like, we had Fred Warner out to one of our draft events in Vegas. Showed up in flip-flops, cut off shorts. We were rented out a whole club posh vibe. He shows up, does his contractual obligations, comes over to me and says, hey man, do you think if I could just hang out for a little while? Yes, Fred Warner. I look over, he's talking to my son for like 20 minutes. Didn't even know he was my son. But just giving him life advice. Comes back over, hey, can I announce some of these giveaways and raffles? Yes, Fred Warner. Yeah, you can announce some giveaway. Like, the dude is like, some people are just authentic, and he is exactly who you see at all times. And there is nobody. Drake Greenlaw is my favorite player. A lot of that's just, you know, his story, foster care, all that kind of stuff. But, like, man, if you could have, you know, your child mimic any player, Fred Warner's the guy. Just amazing, 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 amazing. And I'm loving all the comments. Unleash the Warnerine. I like that. The field general is back. Love it, love it, love it. Ben, Fred Warner's going to make a big difference for our safety play too. I'm hoping we see a lot of cover two. I want to see Tampa 2 coverage. I really, really do. And Warner in that Urlacher role, running down the seams. I want to see that, man. Oh, come on, man. Come on. Let's go. Kimbro, if you need help moving, I have a strong back if you have the beer. Oh, dude, you're the best, Kimbro. Love you, man. You're freaking the man. Warner Greenlaw 2026. That's my captain. He's just the best. He makes everybody better. I can't. We get to see Fred Warner play. That's amazing. That's amazing. All right. I'm going to volley it back to you. Let's get another prediction from you for the 2026 49ers season.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to the secondary, you know, and you brought up a second ago that Fred Warner, you know, in the conversation about him making things better for the safety room. And I think it's going to be better for the safety room because I think that Marquis Siegel is going to win that starting job. I think he's going to play a lot this season. And I think he's going to be a part of a big renaissance for that secondary. I think with the pressure that's going to happen up front, Marquis Siegel is going to have a lot of plays. And so I'm going to kind of put this one together. I think Marquis Siegel is going to help this team with turnovers, and Siegel's going to have 3 interceptions this season. I think he's going to step out on the scene. He's already the best tackler on the football team, and I think he starts generating turnovers. And it's not just something that I'm throwing out there on a whim, but if you go back and you watch, he's just a tick slow. He was letting the game come to him instead of taking it to the game, and I think that that's one of the big things when he's watching. He was kind of letting it develop before he trusted his eyes and went. I think this year he has a better understanding of what NFL play looks like, the timing. I think he's going to be more comfortable where he's at in the defense, and I think he's going to start jumping some of these routes. And the things that we saw at K-State that made us love him, I think they're going to start coming out, and he's going to start finishing some of those plays he couldn't finish last year. So I love Marquis Siegel's ability. I think he's a big reason why they didn't invest a lot in safety this offseason. So I think they believe that he can be the player that they were hoping, a kind of a Jimmy Ward kind of player that can kind of line up in the slot at times, play over the top, get in the box and mix it up. And I got him getting 3 sacks. And I think it's going to be a lot of turnovers for the 49ers this year. Don't be surprised to see the 49ers generate a lot of turnovers on defense with the renaissance of the pass rush and then that secondary getting better.
Here's my question. What would you say about the Ashton Davis signing? Is that an indictment on Marquis Siegel?
No, I don't think so. In fact, my conversation has been this offseason. I believe that Malik Mustafa was actually the one that I could see them going a different route with, mainly because they're going to look for more coverage. I love Malik Mustafa, but if you watch him in covers last year, it was a struggle. And he's already had some limitations with some of his abilities when you're talking like his hips and being able to run with receivers and 13 personnel and things like that don't really work out for him the way that they want. Now, Siegel coming on the scene and playing well actually makes things easier for Malik Mustafa and the role that they can put him in. But I think that Ashton Davis is right now a depth piece. But I thought that Matt Barrow's, you know, comments weren't too far-fetched. I thought the 49ers were going to draft a safety. This was early in the process. They could draft a safety and play them with Marquis Siegel, where they could get more optimization. Because you know this, John, you got to cover as much grass as you can as a defensive player. And if you're going to have 4-3 guys, that's going to help out a lot. That's going to create opportunities for these guys to make plays, but also keep things underneath and kind of keep over the top. You're talking cover two. Let's keep everything underneath. And I think that that's a big thing they could do with Siegel. Malik, I worry about. And, you know, we're already starting to hear in OTAs, you know, Malik getting kind of beat deep. Those are some of the things I worry about. I think he's going to have a bounce back. I think last year the ACL contributed a little bit more than we wanted to think it was going to. But I do think that that's probably where they're looking at. Hey, could we go with a more hybrid safety role where these guys are a little bit faster and can make more plays, use their speed to kind of cover more ground?
Yeah, it's interesting to me because – Matt Barrows came out and said, you know, don't be shocked if it's Ashton Davis and Marquis Siegel as your starting tandem. You know, everybody kind of sees it as Malik Mustafa's got it locked down. And the explosive plays for Malik are there. And I think they're going to continue to be there. I don't know, man. And we haven't even mentioned Jair Brown, who is the highest drafted of this entire room. I don't think you and I are the biggest Jair Brown fan club members. But he is a turnover guy. I think that there's 4 guys and they're just going to let it kind of play out and just who wants it? Who wants it? You can watch the safety position the entire training camp preseason. It's going to be entertaining because I think both spots are up for grabs. And this isn't a position that the 49ers value. They don't spend high draft picks. They don't spend free agency money. You had an all-pro safety that you let walk and didn't even try to sign in Talano Funga. He goes, has an all-pro year he left. It's just not something that they value and want to spend on. So we'll see it. I mean, yeah, hopefully Marquis Siegel, I'm high on him as well. I'm with you. I really, really, really want to see him just be successful. He's such a fun player, man. And that 4-3 speed, one of the best, if not the best, tackling player in the 49ers defense already. He's just got to make those plays in the air. And, you know, just one tick improves that little bit that much. You got a baller. You got a baller. Now, for my prediction, this is my last one. I'm going to go to the offensive line. I'm going to steal one away from Ant. I think Connor Colby is going to be the starting left guard. I think he's going to hold that job down. I have him with 14-plus games started this year, injuries, whatever else. And, you know, might not get it week one, but I think Connor Colby is going to take this job and just run with it. I really, really do. And if that's the case, the Niners locked up young guards, left guard, Dominic Pooney, right guard. It's kind of the best case scenario. Robert Jones might be a little more consistent now. How much longer is he going to play? Connor Colby, I'm just not sure he's going to let go of that job like he did last year. I think he learned so much in his first starts, and they weren't great, but I think he learned a lot. Then he gets benched, watches, comes in garbage time, and was awesome every single time he got on the field in garbage time down the stretch last year. I think Connor Colby wins that left guard job.
I think they want Connor Colby to win that left guard job. I think they're going to give him every opportunity. I thought something that was very interesting that Chris Furster said was when they drafted him, they didn't really see starting potential in Connor Colby. They saw a player that looked like he was going to be, you know, somewhat of a backup, but he said he sees it now. I think that that's a great tip of the cap to Connor Colby and his abilities. The biggest thing with Connor is going to be pass protection, especially when there's stunts. Things coming his way. He looked lost a lot of times last year, turning the wrong way, you know, just looked like he wasn't fluid picking things up. And a big conversation into whether Connor Colby's ready or not is going to come from Trent Williams. Chris Furster is going to lean on that because Trent Williams is better when he has a consistent player next to him. Spencer Burford didn't even play that well, but Trent Williams was a lot better with Spencer Burford next to him than he was Connor Colby. So he wants to feel comfortable with that left guard, and he had a good relationship with Burford. So it's going to come down to that. Can he get a working relationship with Connor Colby? Can he figure out, you know, how to pick up these stunts and how to not be confused? That's one of the main things that he's got to work on. And then, you know, just can Trent Williams feel like he's comfortable with him? He feels more comfortable with Robert Jones, and it's close. Don't be surprised if Robert Jones isn't the starting left guard, but I do think they want Connor Colby to be able to step into that role. I think it would make things a lot easier for this football team. They would have a young player under contract for the next three seasons. So, yeah, I think that it's plausible. I think that was another one that's going to be interesting. And I throw out Brett Toth as well. I know that we've got a situation where he's the backup center and they don't really want their backup center starting. But I think that John Feliciano in 2023, they waited too long to get him into the starting lineup. When they got him in there, that offense took off. They got better in the red zone. They became a lot more dynamic. And so I think that they can't wait to pull the trigger as long. And Brett Toth has been getting some really good coaching for a few years. He's NFL ready. He's ready to go. I think he's a very talented player. As long as he's healthy, I throw him in the mix as well. That's going to be another fun conversation, that left guard spot. I think that one we're going to be watching who's lining up where at training camp and who's getting those reps. I think it's going to be a little bit tougher for Toth, but I think if he gets an opportunity, he's a dark horse to take that spot.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, there's depth at these spots now. Even with Carver Willis, who you didn't mention, like, I think he's the long-term plan at center, which is great. Like, the Niners have never had a plan there. Now you have that depth there, whether that's Toth or Carver Willis, what that looks like. But you have your immediate competition, and then you have young, aspiring backups, Enrique Cruz, Carver Willis, Brett Toth, I think, falls into that as well. It's just, it's a different roster build. It's a different roster construction than we're used to saying. And man, usually keep eight offensive linemen. How the hell are you going to do that? Somebody's going to have, if there's not an injury, there's going to be an injury because Shanahan's going to have to create one to allow that room to stick together because there's just too many guys, which is great. That's where you want to be. Where you're up against a 53-man roster and you're just like, dude, there's no way to keep all these guys. What are we going to do? Like, we have too many good players. And you always hear Shanahan and John Lynch talk about this after the draft. Well, we didn't draft that position because we didn't think the guys that were available could beat out the guys that we have. I hate that statement. It pisses me off every single time. I'm like, dude, you don't know. You don't know. Like, people always talk about the poor drafting thing. I think there's some philosophical issues I completely disagree with. You look at Howie Roseman, who you could argue is the greatest general manager in NFL history. He says, we don't want backups. We are drafting guys that can start and come in and compete. Whether it's the seventh round, second round, first round, doesn't matter. And that's how you get guys like Jordan Mailata, right? Like, we want guys that can come in, and if everything goes well, they could start. And so, like, they don't care about what they have at the position. We're drafting quality players late. Now, you could say the same thing. All right, what about Brock Purdy? What about George Kittle? What about, you know, Hufanga? What about? But it's just the different way you look at it. Whenever John Lynch or Kyle says, well, we didn't think there was anybody there that could beat out the guys. I hate that. Like, I'm just like, dude, bring in competition. Yeah, you might think they are not as good as whatever, and that's fine. But, like, who's the best player? Draft that player late in the draft. I understand early in rounds. I get that. I can buy into that philosophy. Do you think that that kind of, back to this Connor Colby thing, didn't really, you know, pick him to be a starter? But dude started week one his rookie year. Didn't do a good job. But he was there. Man, if they would have took Connor Colby in the fifth round, I would have been happy, especially looking at it now.
Yeah, I think that you are looking at these guys, especially later in the draft, and you're looking for something upside, right? Some sort of trait that you can build upon. With offensive linemen, that's a little bit more difficult. I think with Enrique Cruz, it's really easy to see, right? He's got the hyper-athleticism, like he's physically gifted. So you're wondering if you can mold him technique-wise into becoming a consistent player in the NFL. With Connor Colby, it was kind of the opposite, where he was more of a consistent guy in college, but doesn't really have that elite trait or something that, you know, kind of shines that makes you think, oh, this guy's got a ton of upside. You look at the 49ers picks in the later rounds this time, you got Price Sock with the long arms and Jaden Duggar, who's a, you know, crazy freak athlete, Enrique Cruz. They kind of went that direction with guys that could develop into potential starters down the road. So maybe their philosophy did change with this draft and what they looked at kind of going down the stretch. But with Connor Colby, it's more about consistency. And with offensive line, Chris Foerster likes to get guys who are good at one thing, either run blocking really well, and he feels like, oh, I can develop them as a pass protector, or they're really good at pass protection. He has to develop them as a run blocker. That's part of the reason they're in the mid rounds. And he feels like he can do that a lot of times. And with Connor Colby, they feel like they've got another guy that can do that now. But I think that he played a lot better than people expected down the stretch, you know, when he had that garbage time like you brought up. But there's a lot of work to do. I mean, he's going to have to prove that he can be a consistent player. They need better play from that left guard spot. That's why I'm really excited that they have a guy like Robert Jones and Brett Toth, because those guys at least are going to be stable. So you can at least have that. Now, if Connor Colby hits, we all feel a lot better about the position, and Connor Colby takes it to another level, and that's exciting for this football team. But at least they're insulated. And I thought that was a really good move, investing in the offensive line, because they need one of those guys to hit. They can't go into the season with a left guard hole with questions already at center of what you're going to get consistently in certain aspects of Jake Brendel's game. So this is going to be one of the big ones. I hope it's Connor Colby, because I think that's the best for this football team. But I think that it's going to be a fun competition.
Oh, I like it. Big Toad, appreciate the super chat. He says, safety should be a priority. Safety is destiny. Where do you agree with the Niners' philosophy on safety not being a priority and investing no money and very little draft capital in that position? Or do you see safety as, man, you can get a value there?
Yeah, I think that at times safety should be valued. I think safeties are game changers. I think you look in the history of the 49ers football team, when they had good safety play, they were really good on the back end. I mean, George Seifert always believed in really good safety play, and I trust him, you know, and you know, Ray Rhodes and those guys, they were really good, and they invested in safety, and those guys made a lot of plays for this football team. And even the Harbaugh days, you had Whitner, you had Goldson. Those guys also were imposing over the middle of the field. They made you think twice. So safety plays important. I was very high on Nick Emmanuel coming out last year. I thought that that was a first-round guy. I would have invested in Nick Emmanuel, but I don't make decisions for the 49ers. So I do think at times it can be. If you think it's going to be a game-changer, invest. I think it is a position that's been devalued a lot, like some of the other positions, you know, running back, tight end, to a point that you feel like you can get someone in the mid rounds and they can be impactful for your football team. The 49ers just haven't quite hit that guy yet. Hopefully Marquis Siegel is, because I do think he's got the traits to be really good.
I like it. One of the best to ever do it. Phil, what's up, my man? Appreciate the super chat. He says, hey, I caught you live. Love the coach approach. Phil's aunt's biggest fan, and he is just one of the nicest human beings I've ever met. Phil, I see your face. I see your name in the chat. I light up like a Christmas tree, which cheeks are already red. I only had to go halfway. But I just want to say thank you, Phil. Appreciate all that you do. Kimbro coming in strong. Thanks for the super chat, man. This collaboration has made me subscribe to the 40 Hours Cutback. I get to hear both John and Ant through the week. Thanks, guys. And for everybody watching, listening, downloading, whatever platform you are, go check out 40 Hours Cutback. You will be smarter, entertained. It is the best of the best, man. I've known Ant for a handful of years now, not long enough. Can't wait to further this relationship. But Ant, I do want to just take time and just say, man, appreciate what you do, the positivity you bring, the education, and not diving into the clickbait, whatever. Having said that, we're about to answer some clickbait questions. So apologies there. A couple questions and comments that I want to get to before we get out of here. The Notorious GAV, Kyle Juszczyk stat prediction, or we riot. Let me pull up Kyle's. Let's go just based on receiving. I mean, the dude ran the ball two times last year, right? Last year, he had 24 receptions. Was his, man, dude, he's been with the Niners for 10 years. He had more receptions last year, 24, than he did the previous three seasons combined. Do we see Kyle Juszczyk being used in a similar way last year? I thought it was one of his best seasons, to be honest with you, of the 10. What do you see with Kyle Juszczyk in 2026? Same?
I think he can come close to the same, because I think that they're going to use him a little bit in the tight end room. I think early on in the season, you know, I think the expectations, we're talking about how do you keep nine offensive linemen? Well, you keep two tight ends. And I think, you know, Kyle Juszczyk is such a mastery of this offense now. You can use him all over the field, and I think he's going to get some opportunities at tight end. So I expect him to make some catches, and I trust him a lot more on the field than a guy like Luke Farrell. So some two tight end sets with him and Jake Tonjes, I think, sound exciting. I talked about the red zone earlier and how I think it's going to be so good. Well, who's going to be the forgotten man in that situation? Kyle Juszczyk. Sometimes he's just going to sneak right out of the backfield for some big-time touchdowns. So I do think Kyle Juszczyk is going to have a successful season, a lot like last year.
Yeah, and he had a 78.6 succession percentage when targeted, which is one of the best in the NFL. You throw the ball to him, good things happen. Not explosive plays, but you can get the first down, move the chains, stay ahead of the chains. That's what he does. Love me some Kyle Juszczyk. Keep him out there, please, 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 please. Rusty, here we go. Maybe we please address the Max Crosby situation and the infatuation by fans. I'm not high on the idea, but open to both big brains and both opinions. I talked about this a little bit yesterday with Larry's show. You know, Larry being the radio host that he is, he's going to go after those headlines. So I had a chance to talk about that. One, the Davis family's not trading their best player to the 49ers. We've already seen that play out with Mark Davis and Khalil Mack. Two, I don't think the 49ers are in the position to take on that contract for the next couple years. Three, I think the 49ers want to see what they have in-house, and it would be much more likely in season as a trade than it is right now. Right now, I don't think it makes any sense. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, you know, I talked about Max Crosby kind of early on in the situation and kind of broached it again when Myles Garrett got traded to the Rams. Like, hey, do the 49ers need to do something? There was a lot of conversation around it. I think you're right about the trade deadline. I think that's the more realistic conversation point, because then the 49ers would know, hey, we're a Max Crosby away. And I think that that's it becomes real. Max Crosby can then prove that he's back from his injuries, whatever Baltimore allegedly saw, I think will be a part of it. And then when it comes to Mark Davis, I do have a question. I would normally have said he will never trade with the 49ers, but I think the infusion of different minds in the building, right? Tom Brady's now a big part of what they're doing in the front office. And also Kubiak, you know, being there, there might be some familiarity there and they might be willing to make a deal. I just don't like a lot of the trade scenarios that I've seen. I think that that's a lot to give up for Max Crosby unless he's going to put you over the top and win a Super Bowl. And I like Max Crosby. I think he's a really great player. I just, to me, a free agent player where it just costs money makes a lot more sense than giving up a 2027 first round pick, Mikel Williams and something else. Like, I don't really like giving up all that capital for a player, but if it was going to put him over the top, if you told me they could trade for Max Crosby at the trade deadline, they're going to win a Super Bowl, sign me up every single day, twice on Sunday. Like, I'm in it, but I don't think it's there. I don't think there's, I think they like him. I just don't think that they're actually going to pull the trigger on that deal, like for all the reasons you brought up earlier with money and draft capital.
Right here, Ben, another, you know, Mike Evans stat. He says 1,200 yards, Mike Evans passes Andre Johnson. I pulled up. Mike Evans is currently 21st in NFL history with 13,052 receiving yards, and he's about to launch up this. If he gets 1,200 yards, he would move into 11th. He'd go from 21st to 11th, passing 10 players just behind Reggie Wayne. But, I mean, they're like these are the names he's about to pass. Steve Largent, Andre Reed, DeAndre Hopkins, Torrey Holt, Julio Jones, Henry Allard, Anquan Boldin, Chris Carter, James Lofton. All within the realm of possibility this year if he hits 1,000 yards. Then he's, again, another 300 to 400 yards away from passing Andre Johnson, Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison. Like, he's pretty – if he plays two seasons and just gets 600 yards a season, this dude's going to be a top 10 wide receiving career. Now, he is only 9,500 yards behind Jerry Rice. So he can climb far. I don't think he's going to climb that far. One day that record will be broken, but maybe not in our lifetimes. I don't know. But Mike Evans, he's got a ways to go, and he's going to pass a lot of all-time greats.
Yeah, Mike Evans is going to have a big season. And I think that's what he's looking for. He's looking to be put into that category. He talked about, you know, wanting to be a Hall of Famer. And, you know, Trent Williams called him a first ballot Hall of Famer. And he was like, oh, Trent said that. He's looking for that. He's looking for that recognition. I think he felt like he wasn't really getting it in Tampa Bay. And I think that he wants to get on a bigger stage. And it doesn't get bigger than San Francisco with the way that the fans travel and how everyone has an emphasis on it. There's a reason the 49ers versus Cowboys is always one of the most watched games every single year that they play, because it's big time. It's showtime when the 49ers show up in the gold and red. And he wants to be a part of that. And I think if he knows if he wins another Super Bowl, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And all these numbers are great, but that's one thing he's really looking at is being a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I love it. I love it right here. Kimbrough, John, without naming any names, have any Niners you have had to our events been turds? Yeah, they have. It's mostly the agents. They have to do their job. I'll never throw a negative name out there, but I will tell you the positives. The majority are positives. And if you get a chance to meet some of these, you know, legends and whatever else, take the opportunity. It's there. They've worked hard enough to create fans. They have to work hard enough to make you not be a fan. And that's up to them, not you. I always hear people say, oh, don't meet your heroes. Disagree. If they live or operate in a way for them to no longer be a hero or a fan, well, that's up to them. But the majority are awesome. They really, really are. And Frank Gore, Navarro Bowman, Fred Warner, top of the list. There's lots more that I could go on and on about. And you just see, like, my favorite thing at all these events is where you see kids who don't know who the hell Frank Gore is. They don't know who Navarro Bowman is. They don't know who these guys are. But whenever you see them get the autograph and the picture and walk away and their face is just like, you've created a moment. And that kid's locked into the faithful for good. Like, he's in. She's in. That is just the coolest thing. Like, oh, I'm just, yeah, that's what it is. So anyway, you brought up Dallas. I don't know if everybody saw the England fans for the World Cup game at Texas Live. That's that bar where all the English fans are. Like, that's the event, the space we got. So we're going to look like that just with Niners fans. We're expected our largest party. Our largest party we've ever had is about 800-something. We're going to beat that Dallas. So 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Come out, be with us in Dallas. It's going to be incredible. I will never miss a 49ers-Cowboys game in person again. That is a life goal. That's the goal. We'll see how long I can keep that going. But anyway, any closing remarks before we say goodbye?
Just like to say that I had a good time, John. It was great. Always enjoy our conversations and the interaction with the people in chat. They always go hard. They do such a great job. I like seeing all the familiar faces, people that I got to meet in person at the draft party and stuff like that. So it's a great time. Anyone that wants to go to one of the Rush road trips, you guys should go. Just meet the people. The people are great. Yeah, you know, meeting John is great. Meeting a player is great, but meet the other 49ers faithful fans. They are tremendous. They're really good people. So go do it. Enjoy it. Have a good time. And, hey, we're right on track for a great 49er season. I'm looking forward to it.
You know, I always say this at the events, and I say, like, look, if you come to this event, you don't meet new people, you have failed the faithful. It's about the community. And, like, we have stories of people being in each other's, you know, a bridal party that they've met at 40. We've been doing this for, like, freaking forever, man. It's just so cool. It's such a good time. So, yeah, I appreciate everybody out there. Notorious says, Chappers, you live tomorrow. I'm apartment searching. I'm getting my – the Chappers are getting their butts kicked right now. Our youngest is moving to Texas. We're getting him an apartment, which that should be squared away today. The wife and I are struggling. The Bay Area is so damn pricey, and I don't make a lot of money. And so, like, we're struggling, so probably not – I might be able to squeeze in a countdown video. I've got my notes done. I'm not sure. Now, Ant, are you going live tomorrow? That's the more important question.
I don't think I'll be going live tomorrow. I have a day off from work, so I will probably put something out, hopefully, but I am, I'm going to have like a few days off here. So I'm going to try to like take it in rest. And enjoy it a little bit. Yeah. I've did videos all week, so we'll see. I might squeeze something out there. Hopefully I can, but no guarantees. Yeah, no guarantees. I might just, you know, put my feet up a little bit and enjoy a little downtime.
I love it, man. You deserve it. It's off season for us too. Appreciate all the fans, everybody watching. Ant, you are the best of the best. Until next time. Uh-oh, I gotta wait. We got a super chat coming into the wild. Appreciate you. Here we go. Kai Papanua. That is just like the coolest name ever. John, first time super chat. Best Niners pod out there. Lost my mom about a month ago, and the pod has helped me get through some of the rough times. One, I just want to say I'm so sorry. I know that that's not easy, and rely on others. And if we can play a small role in any way, we are beyond thankful. Feel free to reach out 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. That goes to anybody. If you need somebody to talk to, I'm not good at this stuff, but, yeah, please, you do not ever have to go through these things alone. There are people that love you and care for you, even though I haven't met you or seen you. Just want to let you know we're there for you. So anybody going through hard times, we love you. And don't go through them on your own. No matter how bad it feels, there are people out there to talk to. Please reach out. Please reach out. Please reach out. That's going to do it for us here today. And for everybody else, stay strong, faithful. We out.